John is coming to break open the bread of life. I encourage you to open your heart, prepare, get ready to receive what God has in him and through him. Brother John.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm on. I am on. Good evening to everybody. And praise God. All right, I'm going to try not to be before you long. As you can see, I am up here without my glasses, so we're not going to strain the eye. I got to get those fixed, amen. I get those fixed. The wife is working on some stuff. Amen. So today, what I want to share about is our identity as the light. And I'll share a little backstory. You can see where I'm going, and then I'll get into it. Usually I'll go through some articles that I'll see on the internet as I'm checking some stuff, and one caught my eye that I had to share with my wife. And the article read like this. I can't get it verbatim, but the article read that Kim Kardashian snaps at Kanye over his comment about what she was wearing. Caught my eye. It's like, it's kind of interesting. And the gist of the article was that Kanye was upset with her about what she was about to wear to this gala because he thought it was too sexy and he didn't want her out there like that. And I thought, that's weird, given I have a limited knowledge of who Kanye West is, but in my limited knowledge, I wouldn't think he would be a person to comment disparagingly about his wife's dress, knowing who he was. So I looked into it a little bit more and found out that one of her responses was him to, how dare you comment on the way I'm dressing? Now you're making me a little insecure. Just because you're going on your journey does not mean that I have to follow suit with that. And that was a key thing for me, because usually when somebody talks about a person going on their journey, what are they talking about? His new walk with Christ. Usually somebody says, hey, you can have that journey, but I'm okay. Or that's good for you to do, but I don't need to do it. So I thought that was interesting. So I went to my source for all information related to music, DJ Delight. I said, hey, man, what's going on with this? I put this comment, and Damon revealed it. He said, yeah, man, you know, Kanye West is out here, and he's doing these things called, what is it called, Worship Sunday or Sunday service in the park, where Kanye is holding these Sunday services in the park, doing music a little bit in his style. And I'm like, what has gotten into this dude? And then I see another article where he's going on the Tonight Show and he's talking to a guy and say, yeah, man, God is out here and he's using me. It's about to blow up. And I'm like, this dude, what did something happen with him? Or And then he said, yeah, man, it was a little bit back. He ended up going to the hospital, and he had an epiphany. And there, I believe, he had an encounter with God, and it changed his life. And I was like, good Lord. Where have I been? I didn't hear about this. But now I'm curious about what's going on with Kanye. And just so happens, another article where he actually had this film out about Jesus is King. And it's in relation to his album that he has coming out. And he's reached out to a lot of famous gospel artists. Well, I'll put artists because Kenny G, right? Yes, is on the album, and some other people to help him put this album out that praises God. And I thought this was very interesting because this is not the first time that this was done. A little while back, another famous hip-hop artist called Snoop Dogg also reached out to famous gospel artists to put together a gospel album and put it out, and he toured and promoted. And I remembered when he put that album out, I didn't like it. I didn't think it was a representation of what God wanted in the earth. But here I am presented with Kanye. And Kanye is doing the exact same thing. But I was getting a different vibe. I was like, Father, what is the deal with this? Are these two things different? Because no matter which one put it out, both of these guys have taken criticism and attacks from, guess who? The church. Snoop said, hey, man, isn't the church supposed to accept everybody? Shouldn't they accept everybody? Shouldn't y'all? Which, you know, Pastor Jim hated when the world told the church how they should respond. Right. And Kanye, because I think he's in the same vein as Snoop, has also received criticism, mainly because people are looking at his past and not necessarily what his current is producing. So I said, what is the deal with this far? Are these the same situations that we need to be critical of? Or are these two different situations? Or do I need to change my approach to bring with this? And this is what the Father brought up with me. This is my subject line. I said, John, we need to look at our identity as the light. Because I think sometimes we can get a little confused as a church. So I want started in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 14. We'll start there and follow me through this journey. I think it'll shed some light on these two situations, which I think are very different. So Matthew 5:14 starts out this: you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And then, what is the purpose of the light? And he said, lights are meant to be seen. Lights are meant to be seen. It's an oxymoron. It's very contradictory for somebody to become a Christian and then fade into the background because they do not want other people to know that they are Christians. Right? But that's not how we put it. We don't want to offend anybody. So we're going to keep our little light. Let this light shine all in my heart on Sunday and Wednesday when no one can see. No. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, God intended for you to be seen. He intended for you to stand out. It's part of who we are. This comes with the territory. Now, I didn't say he intended for us to intentionally offend people. That is not the role of a believer. Matter of fact, the Bible says, as much as depends on you, be at peace with all men. But he intends for us to stand out. That's part of who we are. Purpose of the light is to glorify the Father. Let me read that verse again. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father. Now, this is amazing because of how this works. The purpose of you being seen is so that he can be seen. I would say it also works like this. If you can't be seen, your Father cannot be seen. If you are hiding yourself, then by default, you are hiding him. Because God intends to let his glory shine through you. He said, let your work shine, or let your light shine, so that men see what you're doing, that they may glorify him. His personal intent for you in the earth is to excel at who you are, not just what you do, so that when people see you, it brings esteem to our God. It brings honor to our God. You're like a piece of art. You're God's craftsmanship that men and women come and they look at and they go, man, this artist is amazing. Look at how he arranges those lines. That's you. You're in contact with a person and you're bringing wisdom to their life. You know what? The things that you're saying to me, I mean, they just make so much sense. And your response to that, well, man, I appreciate that, man. It just comes from my life, my journey in God. These are the things that he's taught me. And what you want for them to say is, well, if your God can teach you that, then maybe he can teach me that. Or you go out and you bring goodness and care to somebody. And you say, I just want you to know this is because of the love of God. God loves you. And he compels me to do this. If your God is that kind of God that he can move you to be like that, I think I would want to know some of that. Because see, it brings esteem to him. It points back to him. I remember when we were at camp and we were working with this one particular youth, and he was, I mean, just difficult. And you would think that the difficult youth would be people that just want to get away from camp, you know. I mean, we come in and we're excited and we're happy and we're playing games, we're playing music, but we got a lot of rules. And that's one of the things where they clash with our camp, because we try to bring order into their lives. And this particular kid, he wasn't getting it. I mean, if you don't do something, you might have to go run. You might have to go do push-ups. If you're just really bad, you might have to skip your next meal. And he goes all the way down the line. And this particular kid, he was doing all of that. I mean, everything. And so, you know, you would think he just wanted to escape. And he was in a particular difficult time, and our counselor was working with him. And, you know, we're trying to talk to him. And, look, dude, you just need to stop what you're doing, and you just whatever. And the kid blurts out, he yells, he's almost crying. He said, you have no idea how bad I want to be like you. Blew their heads, because he was doing everything to not be like them. But I recognize the goodness in you, and I want that. I just know how to get it. What an amazing time they had as they were able to talk with this kid about why they were the way they were and how he could become different from who he was. You're intended to shine and bring glory to God. One last thing in the art of creation, since Steve is bringing somebody in. Did you know that our moon doesn't have any light of its own? Yes. Matter of fact, the light that the moon has, it garners from the sun and reflects it into the earth. We're all many moons in the world, reflecting the Father's glory to those around her. You are light. Remember this point. We are not light because of what we do. We are light because of whose we are. He is the Father of lights, and he has declared we are light. You are the light of the world. He has made us light. And because of our who, it now affects our do. This is why it's very difficult for me to accept somebody that comes to the church and say, you know what? And now I'm reflecting a little bit of Cornelius Broaddus's journey, Snoop Dogg, says, I want to do a gospel album. He's reaching out to these artists, and I was like, Snoop, why do you want to do this album? It's been my question. And Snoop says, my grandmother, his mother, I can't remember which one, is an evangelist pastor, and it would make her happy for me to do this album. You know, and make God happy. Now, if I was with that, if he had come to me, I think I would have dealt with that a little different. Because I don't want to crush him. But I think it's important, Mr. Snoop Dogg. I'm happy that you might want to join in and do some Christian things and please your grandmother, mother. But you cannot please our God if you do not have faith. Right? You know what the word said? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't go do what the light does to please our God, what you have to first do is submit your life to God. That's the first and only thing he is concerned with when it comes to us. Then we are positioned to live a pleasing life that honors what he's done for us. But you cannot try to live a life that pleases God without doing the things that he's asked us to do. Now, Kanye's journey is different. Kanye's life was changed. And Kanye looked for a way to honor the God that changed his life. And he's decided to do it in a way that was related to his pastime. I think those two things are different. But it could be the same. We can go a little further. But it's important to understand that we're not going to please God by what we do. First, we have to submit to him. And then the things come after that. So I went through and said, oh, now what are the things that the lights do? We are light. What are we supposed to be doing? Well, right there in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, the light glorifies the Father. That's part of our identity. That's what we're doing. When we go out and do things, we're not doing them for ourselves. We are doing them for God. That's what makes us different from the world in regards to if it's Christian music versus secular music. There are two different purposes. When Richard and Michelle step up here to lead us into worship, they're leading us into God's presence and they're honoring God. Be very difficult if Richard and Michelle stepped up there and said, all right, we're going to sing some songs, but first we got to talk about this money. We're going to get two songs, but we need $20. Right? Because that's not the motivation. Now, a secular artist, which I understand, their motivation for singing, even though it's something that they enjoy doing, something they were designing on, their motivation for singing is to produce cash. That's the motivation. That's why they're doing it. I understand that. That's their business. That's not the motivation, or should not be the motivation, for a Christian artist. You understand? I'm telling the difference. Now, I'm not saying that Christian artists can't go in the world and produce money. You want to do that? You can do that. I remember coming to pastors. The pastor, I'm getting ready to graduate. There's these ministries out there. They want me to come and be a part of their ministry. Some of them are offering me this much money. Some of them are doing this. Said John, well, it's quite simple. If you want to go out there and you want to do that, and you want to do it for the money, then you look at who's going to pay you the most. If you want to go out there and you want to please God, then you look to see where God is telling you to go. Two completely different motivations. And those two never intersect. That's why I find it troubling for me. This is just me talking. When we have gospel artists who get so popular that the world is ready to bring them under their fold. I mean, these are artists that become big, you know, big names, but I won't call out. And I look at that and I don't say, oh my gosh, why are they, you know, their songs being played in secular or whatever. Because I believe, because promotion comes from the Lord, that if we have an artist that is so big that the world is calling out to them, that God put them at that pedestal. God elevated them. That's why, because they got there doing what they do. Now, here's a problem I have. I understand it completely, though. I completely understand. They get up there. They get invited to the Grammys. Say, we want you to come in. You know, but if you could tone down a little bit, you know, you're great. But when you're in this environment, maybe if you can, you know, Jesus is not so good, you know, maybe God is good because everybody serves God, right? And I understand the dilemma, because once you're at that level, the money you command is a little different when you get that high. And you're looking at that and you say, well, I would like to have that. And the question is, you kind of have to leave some of this over here that got you to this point if you want to continue crossing over. And then that's my dilemma. Because I believe God brought them to that point. But I don't think God brought them to that point so that they could leave him behind. I think God elevated them so they were so good that they couldn't be ignored. And they would begin to demand change on this other side. Because they've already accepted him. They're like, you're great. You're awesome. We want to hang with you. That's fine. As long as you understand this is who I am. Now, I understand the struggle. But that's where, as a believer, you have to understand your identity and your purpose. You are the light. Now, let's look at it. Let's look at the, what is the light supposed to do? The light's supposed to glorify God. And everybody at the Grammys, first statement, I would like to thank God for my album, I'm murdering 100 people and my mama don't like me. Get about the content of the song. Let me drop that. The second thing that I'm pointing out, there's a lot of things the light does. 1 John 2:3. What other things does the light do? I think this is what makes us different from them. I wish I could just quote it. I wouldn't even have to go to it. But 1 John 2 and 3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. The second thing that the light does is obey the Father. I will put it like this. It is more important to the Father. What you do is more important to the Father than what you say. Come on. You can say, my mama was a Christian, my grandma was an evangelist, and as far as our Father's concerned, that has nothing to do with our relationship together. I'm more concerned about what you are doing. Now, remember I said, it's not your deeds that make you pleasing to God. It's who you are. But if who you are identifies with who he is, it's going to affect what you do. Now, I'm not saying you got to do it to please him. I'm saying because of who you are, you'll begin to do things to please him. I refer you back to Brother Brian's message about our identity in him. That because we are light. And we simply do the things that light is supposed to do. Ephesians 5:13, this is the big point right here that I think makes the difference between what Kanye is doing and what Snoop Dogg did. Ephesians 5 and 13. It says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. And that's why it says, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Light exposes darkness. That's why I think the Bible goes on to say, what fellowship can light have with darkness? Because the DNA of those two worlds are at, converse, They're opposites. They don't go together. If I'm hanging out with Aisha, I'm smoking a little weed.
No.
That's probably not going to go off well against her. No. Exactly. That's why I pointed that out. Because that's not what she's about. I'm probably not going to be able to do that comfortably around her. Hanging out with Brian. We're riding down the road. So, Brian, you pull on off over here. Let's go to the strip club. I don't think that's a highly approved destination. Probably going to discourage me from that type of activity, at least while I'm with him. He's probably going to tell me something like, John, I can drop you off. But I cannot go. And I know that because he's nice. Well, as a believer, he's going to tell me, John, you shouldn't go. And you know, once you get out the car, I'm going to go tell your wife. But you see what I'm saying? Those two worlds cannot mix well if the light is being the light. Now, they can get along if one of those identities compromises with the other. And generally, the darkness doesn't feel like compromising with the light. Right? It's usually us trying to make them feel better, as if there's something wrong with us being us. Now again, I'm not telling you to be intentionally offensive to someone else, but I am telling you to affirm your identity and just be who you are. They don't get afraid to cuss around you at the water thing. They just let it out. But we are so careful that we don't say, praise God, in the presence of others here, because we might defend them. No. You be you. And if they look at you and say, oh my God, I can't believe you just let out a blessed God. You say, oh, I'm sorry I offended you. I just can't help it. Come on. I'm being facetious. What I'm saying, God intends you for you to be who you are so that he can affect those things. And sometimes it's going to be a conflict. But God intended that. He wants that. I'll tell you right now, the times where I knew that we were about to have some type of big impact at camp is when we had our greatest conflict. I can tell you, because we'd have day one, the kids get there, we give them to a swim test, we send them down to go eat a thing, come back, we start classes, day one, which is a lot of sports stuff. We do parties, day two. It's a 7-day camp. And then day three or day four, depending on if it's 7 or 8 day, we have what we call the crosstalk, which is our passion of the Christ, our play for Christ. And you could map out the conflict that we have at camp. Day one's okay, day two is getting there, day three is like this. And we do the passion. And then it come down all the way to the point where they left every single time. And we get there, and on a day of the camp, right for the passion of Christ, this dude manifests a demon. And he got delivered. Praise God. Wasn't by me, I was looking for rocks to throw, but somebody else was there. Not really, I was trained, but God coming in, bam, dude set free. And I'm talking, damn dude talking about, I see this demon coming, he's got chains out. I'm like, because it's dark at camp. But you knew God was doing something. Every single time. Every single time. God intends for you to be the light, to get into the conflict, so that the fruitless deeds of darkness can be exposed. So what does light do? Light glorifies God, it obeys the Father, and it exposes darkness. Here's my last point so we can get out of here. I believe it's important for us to remember that God wants us to impact the world, but he doesn't want us to become the world. And I think this is the big point of contention. Because for us, we've got to figure out, okay, now how? We know that we need to get out there to do something to impact them, but how do we do that? How do we do that? And then some people are like, well, no, let's change some things and bring them in here. And I think this is where the conflict comes in. It's a, well, you know what? We know what? You know what? You know what? It's a different time. It's a different time. People like different things. So maybe, just maybe, let's just change some things up. Let's bring in the party lights. Let's bring in the smoke machines. Let's dim the lights. Make a little club atmosphere because that's what the millennials like. You know? Richard, no more slacks. No shorts. Need to bring in the skinny jeans. Michelle just laughed. I don't believe that's a good commentary. I'm just saying, skinny jeans, you know, like shoes, open shirts, because we want to look like them. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to wear skinny jeans. It would be for Richard. And because I believe this, every generation has their own expression. Every generation. And what was great for us and what we enjoyed as we were coming up, it's going to be a little different as our kids come up because they have different interests and different likes. There is a different person or there's a little bit of a difference between what Richard likes and what Jared likes. And Jared was brought up in the church. But there's a little bit of a change. And so I don't think that's wrong. I think that's how God moves from one generation to the next. Our role is not to make the next generation look like us. It's to make sure that that generation has a relationship with the God that we have a relationship with. That's our role, right? And so I think the church struggles with that. How do we go out and we reach out and I know what we got to do? We have to be like them. No, I don't think that's what the Father's talking about. Matter of fact, let's go to John, and we'll see Jesus speak directly to this. John 17 and 14. It says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth." Do you see this? He said, I am not praying that you would take them, the believers, the Christians, the lighted ones. I'm not praying that you would take them out of the world. And if there was someone that could pray and get it done, it would be him. But do you see this? His desire was not for us to have an escapist mentality. I don't want you to have anything to do with those people that are not of the house of faith. He said, I'm not praying that. So I think the church kind of missed it years ago when we had a movement. You know, we're going to be holy. We're going to dress differently. None of our women are going to wear pants. Guys are going to dress like this. Not going to watch television, go to those movies, do everything we can do to get away from the world. That's not his prayer. He intends for us to be in the world. He says it over and over again. They are not of the world. They are not of the world. As I am not of the world. He wants us in the world, but not like the world. There is a strong demarcation between who we are and who they are. And his whole point is to get who we are to interact with who they are so he can deal with who they are. Don't do that by escaping, by hiding in here. Do that, as Aisha pointed out, when we're out there. God, to touch somebody. Says, Lord, don't take them out of the world. As a matter of fact, we're just going to sanctify them. Set apart. That's what Pastor Richard ministered. Says, we are holy. What does that mean? Oh, we get to talk like this. Wear clean clothing. Stay away from skinny jeans. No. Holy means we're set apart. We're special. You know what we are? You know what we are? We're that tree that God put in the middle of the garden. Said, you know what? You can't touch that. That's mine. That's set apart for me. You know, the world can do a lot of things. But God says, you know what? Jerry's mine. You can't have her. She's set aside for specific purposes related to me. And I'm not sharing. Demetrius is mine. No, devil, you cannot have him. He's protected. He's holy. You're set aside for him. For his purposes. Don't mix that with the world's purposes. It's counterproductive. That's not even meant for you. Not even meant for you, the stuff that's out there, the attaining where God says, I have my own special plans just for you. You're holy. You're holy. No, I got to leave you in there for a while, but I'm protecting you. He said, protect them from the evil one. Protect them. Keep them from being tainted, Lord, so that your glory can shine, your light can shine in a dark world. That's your purposes. So I say, it's blessing me to go over this. He doesn't want us to forget our purpose in this world. And so I go back to Brian's message. Remember your identity. The Bible says that you are the salt of the world. But if the salt had lost its saltiness, it's not good for anything. This is my answer to what are we supposed to do with being in this world. You know what we're supposed to do? Tell you what we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to forget who we are. You know that? We're not supposed to apologize for who we are so they can feel better. You know what? You're going to have to feel uncomfortable around me if you want to be around me. And I suggest you hang around me because I'm a nice person. I'm pretty good. Or at least Nietzsche's pretty good. And if you're around me, you're around her. So it's a positive net. No, I'm telling you, man. You got blessed marriages in this house. You have blessed wisdom in this house. When people hang out with you, they experience a little bit of peace. And joy, and it makes people say, man, how do you have what you have? You know, if you're around Aisha for 5 minutes, you might get a little excited. She got a little bit of joy. Why is she like that? Because of who God made her to be. And she's got it the way she got it, because there's not a lot of people like Aisha. Well, it's really not anybody like Aisha. But her uniqueness is for a purpose. And you all are the same unique kind of person. God doesn't want you to lose that, because we kind of feel like, well, we're not popular with the people that are in the world. Not supposed to be popular with the people that are in the world. Why do you put it like this? If they hated your master, they're probably going to hate you. Let me put it, look at it this way. If they're okay with you, you might want to check yourself. Just a little bit. Make sure you, I'm not saying, again, if you have a nice, pleasant disposition, people are going to be drawn to you. I'm not telling you to be ugly. I'm reminding you, be who you are so God can draw people to himself. Because he's trying to go beyond the whole, oh, it's nice to know you, it's nice to meet you. It's like, no, you know what? When I'm around Brian, something hits me here. Remember that story that Kimpo shared? And Kimpo said that girl turned away. He said, light is coming out of your eyes. My God. She was experiencing God in that moment. How many people are you denying that type of experience because you don't want them to be offended by your God? Now, I'm not telling you to try to do something. I mean, you don't work that up. You don't, jack it up and like, is my eyes shining? Am I eyes shining? No, that's something that God did at that specific time. It was amazing. I'm just saying, what are the amazing things that God wants to do through you? And are you making sure that you're not hindering him from doing that? Because God intentionally planned for you to be in this world. But stop trying to become like the world. No one just warned us about wolves in sheep clothing. They should have put a little amendment in there. Like, now make sure the sheep aren't putting on wolves clothing. That even make sense? Come on, sheep. Let's put on these wolves clothes and go out there with the wolves. And just hang out. And had a wolf look at you like, what? Y'all see that commercial? It's a, I don't even remember what kind of commercial it is. I just love it because it's these kids and they're running back and it's like a horror thing. And they're like, oh, God, what are we going to do? And they're like, let's go in the attic. And they're like, no. And the girl says, why don't we get in a running car? Like, are you stupid? And then one of them says, let's go hide behind all the chainsaws. They get back there, and the guy turns around like, what are y'all doing? That's how we are in the world. We're like, no, let's go put on the clothing of the world. Be like the world. And God's like, good Lord. It's not what we're supposed to do. Be different. Don't be afraid to be different. Be bold. I had one more point, but I'm not even going to share it. I'm just going to end it with that because I think it gets the point across. We are in this world. We don't have to be like, we're not supposed to be like the world because there is a God who has sanctified us and set us apart from them so that he can impact them through us. Let's hold on to our identity as being the light of the Lord because it has great value. We don't have to let that go. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Rich.
Thank you, Brother John. It's excellent. Excellent. We do not compromise. We should not compromise. Let's do not compromise the light that we have become. The light that we are in the world. Now, about skinny jeans. I grew up when bell bottoms were becoming popular and were popular in the 60s. And if you don't know what bell bottoms are, they were kind of tight up to the knee or down to the knees, and then they got about 2 foot wide. And you wore big platform shoes. I think I had one pair of those. Then in the 70s, it kind of come down a little bit, and then we called them boot cut. I had my cowboy boots, so I wore my bootcut jeans. Yeah, but I ain't doing skinny jeans. This is as skinny as they're gonna get right here. I can't do that. Look like a potato on toothpicks. That's not good. I digress. The light that is in us is the life of God, and He wants us to shine it out. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the word that we've heard tonight. We thank You, Father God, that Your word is truth. And the truth that we have heard changes our lives, changes our hearts. It causes our mind to be renewed as we meditate on it, as we think about it. And I thank You, Father, that we are changed even tonight, that we have a different attitude, we have a different mindset than when we came in here, because Your word has washed our mind, and we will not let it go. We will not let it go. Thank You, Father, that Your word is planted in our heart and it produces much fruit. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We give glory and honor to You. Holy Spirit, we seal that word, that You would keep bringing it back to our remembrance in every situation, every circumstance that we come in contact with, not in here, but out there. Father God, that You bring that word back to our remembrance, and that we act because of the light that we are, and that we do Your will in glorifying God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. You know, the Jesus said that if He would be lifted up, He would draw men unto Himself. If you're not lifting Him up, how are they going to be drawn? So the light, as the light shines, He is glorified. He's lifted up. That starts the process. The process starts with you. Don't let it say, well, if somebody comes up and asks me about it, I'll say it. No, you go ahead and start it. Just go ahead and let the light shine and watch what happens. You know what happens when you turn the porch light on at night? All the bugs come. Well, maybe that's not the best analogy. But if they come to you, then you can change. They can change. This is just not going well at all. This is not going well. Stand with me and let me get out of this. Hallelujah. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been good to be together. We thank You for coming. Thank You for Your gifts, and thank You for Your obedience to and Your faithfulness to the house of God. I call you blessed. I say that you are the light of the world, and everywhere you go, you shine forth His glory, and everywhere that you are also the sweet-smelling aroma of the knowledge of His presence, and you cause others to notice the God in you. And everything you do prospers and is successful. You're surrounded by favor. His loving kindness is new to you every morning. You are loved by Him, and you cannot be snatched out of His hand. You are loved, you are blessed, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. Go with God right after you drop some stuff in this bucket over here for Brother John. He ministered the word to us. We can bless him with some material things like money. You're blessed. Good night. We'll see you on Sunday.